Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in 1 Kings, first chapter, and we're examining the life of David. We're getting close to the end of his life. David is old, and in previous episodes, we've seen all the palace intrigue that's been taking place. One of his sons sought to become king, and David found out about it, and he says, no, Solomon's going to be king. So we saw in the previous episode that Solomon had been anointed as king. And all the people were just screaming, long live King Solomon, long live. And they did so with playing of pipes and rejoicing with such great joy that the earth was split by their noise. I'm still intrigued by that phrase. Some of the English translations say that the earth shook with their noise. Okay? That the earth was split by their noise. I think it's probably just a factor of how we use words today, you know. Regardless, it had an impact upon the ground, upon the earth. Well, verse 41 says this, Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished feasting. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, what does this uproar in the city mean? So they were outside of the city. They were feasting, rejoicing, because now Adonijah is king. They had anointed him king, except he wasn't king. Verse 42, while he was still speaking, who's speaking? Joab. We see Joab in and out of the life of David, do we not? For better and for worse. So while he's still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said, come in, for you are a worthy man and bring good news. So Joab is sort of full of himself a lot of times, right? He sees this guy, Jonathan, and he says, hey, you're a worthy guy. You're a good guy. I know that you're not going to mess with us. You're not seeking to do something. Come in. I know you're bringing good news. Jonathan answered Adonijah. Who was it that spoke a while ago? Joab. Jonathan doesn't even address Joab. He addresses Adonijah. He says, no, for our Lord King David has made Solomon king. And the king has sent with him Zadok, the priest, Nathan, the prophet, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And they had him ride on the king's mule. And Zadok, the priest, and Nathan, the prophet, have anointed him at Gihon. And they have gone up from their rejoicing so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Now notice, this is all the report of Jonathan. Jonathan's coming back and telling them what occurred. And it's exactly what we've just seen. Notice how he starts off just at the very beginning. No, this is not good news. No. But then he declares the truth. For our Lord King David has made Solomon king. He still acknowledged King David as the Lord, as the king. But he says he made Solomon king. He's also sort of letting them know maybe on whose side he's landing right here. But we're going to find out it's going to happen a lot. And then he describes what happened, that the king, King David, has sent his entire entourage, everybody, from the priestly folks, Zadok, from the prophetic, Nathan, from those who protect him, Benaniah, from those that serve him and that run everything, the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And then that hook that we saw earlier in the episode, and they had him ride on the king's mule. I mean, there really is so much more to that than we think. And he describes what happened. It's Zadok and Nathan, they anointed him there. And the whole place is in uproar. That is the noise you hear. Then he says this in 46, a very short verse, all by itself, a little sentence. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six words. Solomon sits on the royal throne. Solomon sits on the royal throne. But he continues, moreover, the king's servants came to congratulate our Lord King David, saying, may your God make the name of Solomon more famous than yours and make his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. And we saw that earlier, that whole thing with bowing on the bed. Israel did that, bowed himself at the head of the bed when he was at the end of his life. Okay. And so there's a picture right here. The king knows all about this. The king initiated all this. The people have responded. They are rejoicing, even to the point that they are saying to King David, hey, may Solomon be more famous than you. May his throne be greater than your throne. And so this is stuff we've seen already. He's reporting this back to Adonijah. Then he says this, and the king also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted someone to sit on my throne this day, my own eye seeing it. The idea of being granted someone, one of my offsprings, what the Septuagint says, that one of my offspring is sitting on the throne today, and I'm able to see it. In other words, I didn't die first, and then they ascended to it. So what do you think the response of Adonijah was and all the guests? Well, the good news is we don't have to think. We are told. Verse 49, then all the guests of Adonijah trembled and rose, and each went his own way. They scattered. They are terrified. They're shaken. They got out of there. I don't blame them at all. It's a wise move. Verse 50, and Adonijah feared Solomon. So he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Now, this goes back to Exodus. You could go into the horns of the altar where they sacrificed, and you could hang on to the horns, and nobody could come and drag you away and kill you from there, okay, until you had pleaded your case. Verse 51, then it was told Solomon, behold, Adonijah fears King Solomon, for behold, he has laid hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me first that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. So Adonijah is saying, hey, I want to live. I want King Solomon to swear to me that he's not going to put me to death with the sword. Notice how he describes himself, his servant. In other words, I'm willing to serve him. I lost in this little endeavor right here. Verse 52. And Solomon says, if he shows himself a worthy man, not one of his hairs shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. Then the last verse. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and paid homage to King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. So Solomon said what? If you're a worthy man, nothing's going to happen to you. If you're unworthy, if wickedness is found in you, you're going to die. I mean, it was just really cut and dry. So they brought him down from the altar. He comes before King Solomon, and he pays homage. He acknowledges that Solomon is king. Then Solomon looks at him and says, okay, go to your house. But now the burden is on who? Adonijah, to be a worthy man. If he lives out his life as a worthy man, it will end well for him. If he doesn't, it won't, because Solomon flat out said he will die. Solomon is now king. David's still alive. David's at the end of his life. But the lineage has been solidified, even as the Lord said it would be. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.